Good morning. It's good to see so many of you here. Welcome to the final chapel of the first half of the spring semester. We're going to be focusing on why trips, what they are, what people are doing, and answering the question, why serve? I always say that why trip time makes me feel like a parent because I have all these students that I know are going on trips and I don't know what they're going to be doing. I mean, I hope they're going to be okay, and all I can say is make good choices and send them on their way. But it is a nervous time for me as I think of what all people will be doing. In case you don't know, there are three trips going. One is going with Mennonite Disaster Service. They are going, as of this morning, to New York, am I correct? West Joplin, Missouri, now in New York, to a Hurricane Sandy-affected area. Another group is going to Comer, Georgia, for Jubilee Partners, which is a refugee intentional community. And another group is going to inner city Philadelphia and doing various things with organizations. But as you hear students talk, you'll hear more about that. To give you a little background in case the term YPCA is new to you, it's EMU's oldest student organization, am I correct? YPCA, Y Serve is going to be the new name of YPCA, simply states that it coordinates opportunities to serve others in the way of Jesus. Each spring, one way we do this is through Y Trips, spring break service trip designed to be something different than maybe one's usual spring break. Through these trips, students with their peers and sometimes others in the community, and this year that's the case, serve with one another, forming strong relationships, as you'll probably hear from some of the students who may have gone in previous years, form relationships with those they serve and also with God. So I would ask Andrew to start answering the question, why serve?
All right, well, I'm Andrew Penner. I'm one of the co-leaders with John Burkholder going to now New York with MDS. It's going to be a really, really awesome trip. If you guys don't know what MDS is, just really quick, MDS stands for Mennonite Disaster Service, and so what we'll be doing is after Sandy went through, there was a lot of destruction within the community, and so we're going to be doing a lot of, although there's a lot of cleanup still going on, so we'll probably be doing part of that. But there's also a lot of drywall, trim work, putting cabinets in, things like that. So we'll just be doing a lot of basic construction skills, trying to repair these homes for people who can't afford to do renovations themselves. So it's a really, really awesome service. I did with John as well the disaster management disaster management program at Heston. So we got the opportunity to go to Gulfport, Mississippi for eight weeks, my freshman summer with MDS. So that was something that really got me into MDS and got me really focused in service. And so I think one of my big reasons why I like to serve is being able to build that bridge with the homeowners or build the bridge with the people that I'm serving with. So being able to, one of the main rules of MDS is if a homeowner approaches you and wants just to have conversation with you, the first thing you do is put down your paintbrush or put down your hammer. We are there to help rebuild homes for these people, but the first priority is to understand who you're trying to help and understand their story. Understand where they're coming from, what was the storm like, what was the disaster like, different things like that. And I think trying to build that bridge and trying to understand that there's a whole different world out there. It's not, we are not just stuck in our bubble. We need to understand other people's lives, other people's cultures. And to be able to communicate with these people who have had these traumas in their life that, I mean, you have no idea what they've been going through, and just to be able to have communication with them and build that connection, I think that is a really, really powerful thing, especially in service. And I have a Bible verse here. Ephesians 4:6. The New International Version, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. I think that's huge because I do believe that the Lord is in everybody on this earth and that we are his hands to help. We are his voice to speak to, and we're our feet. I mean, we're his feet to walk with. And so being able to go into a place that is disaster-ridden or needs more assistance and be able to be with people that, that people that have God within them and to be able to help them and serve with them, it's an experience amongst itself. So, yeah, I'm really excited, and pray for us. It's going to be a fun, interesting week. So, thank you.
And they don't know what order I'm calling them, but if Krista would like to come forward, she's leading the Comer, Georgia Jubilee Partners trip.
Yeah. So when I was thinking about why I do service, one of my big reasons was similar to what Andrew said, was the opportunity to connect with people and hear their stories and be able to identify with a piece of someone else's story that I would have not been able to see otherwise. And I also did the disaster management program at Heston with John and Andrew. So the past two summers I've done 2 months of MDS service, which has been really formative for myself. One example of getting to know another group of people that was a huge blessing was when we were in Gulfport, Mississippi, we got to visit a group of people that live on the Grand Bayou. And this community is one that you can only access by boat, and some of the people in the community won't come in contact with people from the mainland for weeks at a time, and they live really in tune with nature, and their relationship with nature is almost a spiritual one. It's their livelihood. They're fishers, and a lot of them have a shrimp, work on the shrimp boats. Their relationship with nature is really cool. Their main form of medicine is still natural herbs and things like that. And so being able to see a community like that has then shaped my views and looking at, how am I viewing nature? And I think there's a lot to learn from that type of experience. And another reason why I would say it's important to do service is that we come in contact with situations that we would have never been able to foresee otherwise. And that would be true of a lot of situations, but within service, you go into it with an attitude of, I'm going to serve regardless of what happens, and I want God to be able to use me in whatever situation arises. And so that attitude within the service situation is really unique for me. One example of where that happened was also in Mississippi. Our group had been living, there were 11 of us, and we'd been living in a group house. And outside of that house there, one day we found two little baby raccoons. And they're really cute, but the mother had kind of abandoned them, and they were going to die. So Logan, one of the group members who lived on a farm in Kansas, loved animals, had decided he was going to take in this baby raccoon and raise it, and then he was going to take it back to Kansas and set it free. And it was this great plan, and he would get up and feed it in the morning at 6 a.m. and bought a little bottle and a little cat carrier to take it around in. So we all learned to love this little guy, and he would follow Logan around like a little dog. We were there for 7 weeks, and we'd had the raccoon for about a week and a half when we had to move to a different MDS site. And when we got to the new site, the project director, we'd been there for no more than 5 minutes, and Harold had said, okay, that raccoon needs to go. And we're like, well, can you welcome us first? And it was really, it was okay. Harold didn't mean to come across that way. But the whole group just got really defensive, and it didn't go over well. Logan got really mad, and so at one point, I had kind of approached Harold and said, hey, I don't think you realize the way you came across, and I think Logan would really appreciate an apology from you. And as it turned out, Harold then asked me to go with him when he was going to apologize to Logan. Just as, I had gained the trust of both parties, and so that was going to be really valuable in resolving that conflict. And in the end, they didn't get along. The whole week, they didn't get along. That I wasn't able to fix that much. But I was able to bridge a little bit of that gap and kind of mediate from both sides and say, okay, Logan, this is where Harold's coming from. Can can you see part of that? And I would go to Harold and say, this is where Logan's coming from. Can you see a piece of his story? And that was something that I would have never, like, I never expected to be in that situation. And it really pushed me outside of my comfort zone. But I learned a lot about my own conflict style, and I'm now, I have a minor in peace building, and I realize that that's a big passion for myself, is working with conflict resolution. So as it just being in service and having the mindset of serving God and serving others allows us to be in situations that really push us beyond anything that we could expect.
Next, I've asked Artie, who's leading a trip to Philadelphia, to answer the question, why serve?
Well, thank you, Joanne. I honestly didn't prepare at all, so I just I have something from my journal from last year, so maybe I can share it with you all. So I served in Bronx last year, and I got to know three amazing people there. Her first is Ivy. She's an old lady. Ivy, a beautiful old lady, flowery dress, her face a light purple from makeup, a cute head, dark chocolate skin, loving eyes, deep, compassionate, loving eyes, eyes that smile. She's beautiful in the way she loves. I wish the world could see this beauty in her. She begins to tell me stories in her Trinidad accent that flows out of her mouth so sweet like honey, musical and with rhythm. I could listen to her all day. Lives by herself. No one takes care of her. Her lonesome thoughts swirl in her head at night, not allowing her to sleep. My heart goes out to her. In that place, she taught me what compassion really means. She reminds me what an agape love is all about. Ivy ended our conversation by giving me a paper brown bag because I hold a cold coconut drink. It is so freezing outside, she said. Here is a bag for you so that you can put your cold drink in here. That paper brown bag has revealed me a simple act of unconditional love from the stranger whom I never met before. Ivy, with her beautiful eyes, taught me a great lesson in order to survive in my long journey. Placing your trust in God, for he will never forsake you. Another lady was sitting on the corner. I could see her smile and laugh when she played dominoes with Tim Haseman. She said that she has never been defeated in this type of game before, but Tim did a really good job. However, I felt that I need to bend my knees and just listen to her. So I bent my knees and she opened her brown envelope. Her hands were shaking and her facial expression changed. She tried not to cry, but she just could not handle herself. Her trembled voice illustrated her deepest grief and pain when she knew that her 24-year-old daughter had passed away. Yeah, her eyes told me her sorrow and pain. Without any hesitation, I embraced her, and I was so speechless and could not say anything. I could feel her pain, and I just saw how big the love of parent towards her child is. As I sat back and thought about that moment, I was remembered that if human beings know how to love their child, God will do more than that. Thus, he sacrificed his own life on the cross to show us what love is. I'm sorry, it's kind of boring now. But another guy is Roberto. He's one of the people whom you will call the outcast or the marginalized people. But God sees so many potentials within his life. In our human eyes, maybe we see darkness, brokenness, or unworthiness. However, God sees him beautifully. He is the prodigal son who is ready to go back to the embrace of his father. Thus, I learned that as a human being, we easily judge others without seeing our own sin. I realized that a lot of time, I let my human nature to judge my brothers and sisters as sinners without knowing that I'm also a sinner. I move out my usual pacing lane into the slower pace and realize, I think this Christian life is not always about changing the world or even empowering others. Sometimes it's just about listening and giving of ourselves. For me today, it was about giving back on behalf of my generation, giving back to the elderly what they have already given to our world, or giving back to anyone who will encounter. There is so much brokenness in this world, so much. I reflect and weep, for it is not fair that I'm just like all these people I meet, but my life is so different. Yet somehow, by the grace of God, out of the brokenness, love blooms and God's love fulfills. Thanks.
And Dylan is one of the leaders of YPCA, and he is going to reflect as well.
Hi there. I'm here representing YPCA. I'm Dylan. I'm one of the co-presidents, as well as Nels Okerson. And our other two council members are Amanda Helfrich and Courtney Jones, who are both here. I want to ask a question. Why do I care that you're going on a Y trip? Why do we care? Us as who aren't going, why? Well, one, we hear stories. We in community base our lives off stories that we hear from everyone. The stories that you bring back from Y trips affect the way that we affect everyone else. We hear these stories and we go, wow, that's awesome. I want to do that. Or, wow, that's amazing. How could I do something similar to that? It allows us to see the way that God's moving in the community, as well as how we can move in the community as well. The Bible says, go out into the world and do good deeds. We are the hands and feet of Christ. Through this, that is why we serve. What is service is a big point that we look at a lot. Why do we go out and serve? Service can be anything big to small, from going and just talking to someone about just how is your day, what did this do to you, to you just had a hurricane hit you, how can we serve you? These things affect everything. And as a community, we embrace this. We embrace this service, we bring it into ourselves, and accept it. I bless all of you going on a Y trip and just say you guys are doing a great job. And for those of us who can't go, I just really encourage you to go up to these people, bless them, and ask them questions when they come back, and just take some time and listen and hear these stories. That's why we serve.
I'd like to invite those of you going on a trip to come forward, and sort of like we do for cross-culturals, but maybe in a smaller respect, to come up here behind me as slowly as possible. Just so we can see who you are. And in a minute, I'll invite those of you who aren't going to come and to lay your hands on these people, blessing them as they go on their way. But one thing I thought of this morning as I was thinking about today was the poem about the long view by Oscar Romero, which I'll read really briefly. It helps now and then to step back and take a long view. The kingdom is not only beyond our efforts, it's even beyond our vision. We accomplish in our lifetime only a tiny fraction of the magnificent enterprise that is God's work. Nothing we do is complete, which is a way of saying that the kingdom always lies beyond us. No statement says all that could be said. No prayer fully expresses our faith. No confession brings perfection. No pastoral visit brings wholeness. No program accomplishes the church's mission. No set of goals and objectives includes everything. This is what we are about. We plant the seed that will one day grow. We water seeds already planted, knowing that they hold future promise. We lay foundations that will need further development. We provide yeast that produces far beyond our capabilities. We cannot do everything, and there is a sense of liberation in realizing that. This enables us to do something and do it very well. It may be incomplete, but it is a beginning, a step along the way, an opportunity for the Lord's grace to enter and do the rest. We may never see the end result, but that is the difference between the master builder and the master worker. We are workers, not master builders, ministers, not messiahs. We are prophets of a future not our own. So I invite you, if you would like to come and lay hands on those going on trips. Please pray with me. God, we give you thanks for the able bodies, the open hearts, the strong hands, and the clear voices we have that we use to serve you. No matter our destination, what service we're doing, make us as little Christ so that God's love might be shown through us. That those we encounter is you in us. That our work is not for our own gain, but for the gain of your children who are in need, whether that be materially or spiritually. Grant those going safe travels, satisfied stomachs, and may our comfort zones be stressed just enough so that we can maybe walk in the footsteps of another for a little while. Bring us back here safely with stories and renewal. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
So as we go, let's go with God's presence. Whether you're going with chamber singers, or a Y trip, or a friend group, or to be with your family, or staying here, perhaps, as some do, and in fact work all week, may God be with us. Go with this awareness. Amen.